We're wrapping up a sermon series called Summer in the Psalms, and man, it has been such a great series as we've been looking at different psalms, and God has been speaking to us and building us up, just as we just sang that prayer, God, speak, O Lord, speak, until your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. And that's how the earth fills his church. That's how the Lord fills the earth with his glory, is by building his church and scattering his church throughout the earth. That's how the earth becomes filled with God's glory, is through the people of God being scattered throughout God's earth. Psalm 150 is where we're going to be this morning. And it's a real simple psalm. It's a really straightforward psalm. It's not a difficult psalm to understand, but it may be a challenging psalm for you this morning. It may confront you this morning. And so let's listen to what God says to us in Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray, speak to us through this simple text. Speak personally and powerfully to our hearts from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're taking notes this morning, the outline is really, really easy. It starts with what, where, why, how, and who. Every passage of scripture that we look at doesn't unfold that easily, but this one's going to be pretty easy to track this morning. It starts with what, where, why, how, and who. And so we see the first what right there in verse 1. I want you to look at it with me. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't an invitation. This is a commandment from God to his people. And it's really clear God intends for us to praise him. And he commands for us to praise him. Praise is so powerful because praise is this concept where we take things, these ideas about who God is, and we convey them through music. Praise is it's the pinnacle of worship because it's like truth on fire. We just got through doing it in this place. We take things that we affirm intellectually, we take things that we believe with conviction, and we convey them through the medium of song, which engages our emotions and allows us to, in the strongest way possible, express our worship to God. It brings us to worship God fully with all of our being, holistically. Praise is simply the overflow of loving God. That's what praise is. It's the overflow of loving God. It's the simple truth of praising God. So where are we to praise God? We see this in verse 1. I want you to see it with me. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. And so this psalm was written as a tool of worship for Israel. And as they would work, their worship was centered around the temple. And so the commandment here was to Israel to praise God in the worship in the temple. Now this crazy thing has happened as Jesus came to this earth. Jesus came as God's son, and Jesus, as a man, died for our sin after living a perfect life. He was innocent of sin, but he became a curse on the cross. He died on the cross for our sin in our place. He was buried, and he rose victoriously from the dead. And after that, he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and everyone, here's the miracle, everyone that believes in Jesus receives God's Spirit to live inside of their life. So what in the Old Testament was temple worship, where you have to go to a place to worship, now our lives become the very temple of God. So our lives, as we live our life, our life lived is an act of worship. Our life lived is an expression of worship. No longer do we have to go to a place. We just simply have to breathe. We simply breathe and we have an opportunity to worship God and honor God in how we think and how we feel and how we seek to and how we seek to obey God. But in this verse, it's describing where we're to praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. And I think that the simple thought here is just simply praise him in heaven and praise him on earth. Praise him in heaven and praise him on earth. When Jesus left the glory of heaven, he left a glorious worship service where angels surround the throne of God, worshiping God day and night. They do not cease to praise God. So it's appropriate for worship to take place in heaven, and it's appropriate for worship to take place on this earth. It's simple truth, right? Where should we praise God? Well, God is so worthy of our worship. He should be praised in heaven. He should be praised on earth. But this is the big question that we come to this morning, is simply why? Why should we praise God? And we see this in verse 2. I want you to see this with me. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So what you see in this verse is simply, why should we praise God? Well, we should praise God for what he has done and for who he is. Do you see that? We should praise God for what he has done and for who he is. Some of you heard that testimony this morning and you're thinking, man, I wish God would show up in my life like that. I wish God would show up in my pain. I wish God would bring that kind of redemption and that kind of miracle in my life. I would praise him. I'd stand up on stage and give a testimony if God would show up and do that kind of goodness in my life. Some of you are aching for that kind of movement of God in your life. And it's hard to praise him because of the pain in your life. You know, the author of Hebrews, you don't have to turn there, but I want to read this to you. It's amazing in Hebrews. The author of Hebrews actually talks about sometimes praise is a sacrifice because it comes through pain. Listen to this verse in Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, that's through Jesus, through our faith in Jesus, Jesus allows us to have a relationship with God where our worship is acceptable to God because of Jesus. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You could have blown it last night. Maybe you had a terrible ride into church this morning. And your worship is not acceptable to God if you have a pleasant ride into church on Sunday morning. Aren't you glad? Your worship to the Lord is not acceptable on Sunday morning if only you were holy on Saturday night. Our worship to God is only acceptable to the Father because we're covered by the blood of his Son. Our worship to God is only acceptable to him because we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. If we were coming to worship God in our own merits, all of our worship would be unacceptable to him. This is why we so desperately need to be forgiven of our sin by Jesus, is so that our worship can actually be pleasing to God. But here's the good news. You could have had the worst week of your life. Failed God Monday, failed God Tuesday, failed God Wednesday, failed God Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, and on your ride to church on Sunday morning, but you come in this place clean because that's what Jesus does. He cleans us. He clothes us with his righteousness, and he purifies our praise to the heart of the Father. You can't purify your own praise. You can't do it, but Jesus will purify your praise. This is glorious news. Some of you this morning, you feel like, man, I'm not worthy to praise God. You're not, but Jesus made you worthy. That's why Jesus is king. That's why we worship Jesus, is because he does for us what we could never do on our own. Listen to what the author of Hebrews says. He says it this way, for through him, through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. If you're just jumping in with us, in previous weeks, we talked about how 70% of the Psalms include lament, mourning. So this book of worship, this hymn book for the saints, the book of Psalms, 40% of the Psalms are direct lament, direct mourning. It's like you open it up expecting to be inspired, and it's like, bah. And you're like, dude, I don't need more darkness in my life, right? No, but you need a voice on the dark days, don't you? You need God on the dark days. And if every psalm in the scriptures is all like happy-go-lucky, joyful praise, then we serve an irrelevant God. But God is not irrelevant the least bit. God knows what it's like to live in this earth. So he gave us psalms that are mourning so we can open them up. So this morning, if you're here and you're like, I don't want to praise God because life stinks for me right now, you can still praise God. And it's a sacrifice for you to do so. The psalmist here in verse 2, back in Psalm 150, praise him for his mighty deeds. And you're like, man, he's not been very mighty in my life. I just invite you to go back and listen to the podcast and you'll get a handle. You'll grab hold of a handle on how to praise God in the pain. On how to mourn and praise at the same time. And that's filled with hope, you guys. That's filled with hope. Because a lot of times you come into church and everybody's smiling, right? And all the songs are joyful. And you just think you've got to be fake if you're going to fit in. You don't have to do that here. You don't have to do that here. You can come weeping. You can come angry. You can come confused. You can come not having any of the answers. God is big enough to take you right where you are and lift you up out of whatever pit you're in, friends. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to be fake. You don't have to say you're doing fine. You don't have to have fancy language. You don't have to have fancy clothes. You come as you are, real, raw, vulnerable before God. And that's what he wants from you. He wants you to just lay yourself bare before him because he can speak right into your reality. And that's what the Psalms help us with so much. But in this Psalm 150, we just see simple truths in the command to praise God for his mighty deeds. And maybe God is not showing up and giving you the marriage that you want. And maybe God is not showing up and giving you the child you want. And maybe God's not showing up and giving you giving you the job that you want or the home in the neighborhood that you want. But as this psalm was written, it was written to Israel. And it was written to God's people. And God's people don't have to think but for a second to remember the mighty deeds that he performed in their midst. So God's people, immediately when he talks about their mighty deeds, they remember when they were without food, God dropped manna from heaven and fed them. God's people would remember they were enslaved in Egypt, and God showed up and delivered them through the Red Sea and destroyed their enemies. So how does this hit us today? Well, you've got to ask the question, am I a believer in Jesus? Have I received Jesus? Is Jesus the Lord of my life? And if Jesus is the Lord of my life, then here's the good news. He's destroyed your enemies. And your enemies weren't Egypt and the Red Sea, but your enemy was your sin that you needed to be forgiven of. Your enemy was this distance from God, and you needed to be rejoined into a relationship with him. And that's what Jesus did. He removed our sin that blocked this relationship with God so that we could be reunited with God. How good is Jesus? His mercy is new every morning. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to earn it. That's why we celebrate that it's grace. It's given to us when we don't deserve it. So as you come to this psalm and you think about what are the mighty deeds of God, are you forgiven? Are you free from the power of sin over your life? Is heaven your home and you don't have to fear death? Is that true for you today? Is that true for you today? Then you've got some mighty deeds that you can recount and praise God for. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like every day that I sin and I come to God and confess my sin and I experience forgiveness, it's like his grace becomes that much bigger to me and his deeds become that much more mighty to me because I'm like, whoa. God, I thought you were mighty yesterday. I thought you had done some mighty things in my life, but dang, you just forgave me for that. Thank you. I'll praise you. I'll praise you for what you've done in my life. But it's not just for what God does, it's for who he is. Look at verse 2. Praise him for his mighty deeds, that's what he does, but praise him according to his excellent greatness. In other words, if you can't trace one good thing that God is doing in your life, you can praise him simply for who he is. He's a good God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a powerful God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. He's an all-knowing God. He's a God that exists outside the realm of time and space and history. He's a God who upholds the universe by the word of his power, the author of Hebrews says. And some of you this morning, it's like by the third song, you're like, I'm not even warmed up to sing yet. Listen, when you enter into a relationship with God, and you begin to get to know him, you can't help but to praise him. It's not rooted on the circumstances in your life. It's rooted on the amazing character of your God. But listen, if you don't yet know him, you shouldn't really like feel this, I ought to be praising him. It doesn't make sense to praise a God you don't yet know, does it? No, you need to get to know who he is. You need to be able to, with conviction, say, my God is holy, my God is good, my God is gracious. Do you see it? We praise God for what he has done and for who he is. Can we just be honest just for a second? We got a bunch of UT fans in the house, don't we? I know, I'm sorry. God bless your soul. I grew up in Tennessee, but I don't bleed orange, okay? I know, how does that happen? I don't know. I'm sorry. I see that several of you are wearing black today. Appropriate. Listen. We went over to pick up my little girl from Susan's grandmother's house yesterday. And Susan's grandmother came out, and she had her orange on. But the TV had already been turned off. She ain't watching. She turned it off. She didn't take the shirt off, right? She didn't change clothes, still wearing orange, but she turned the TV off. Now, I remember when Travis Stevens, anybody remember Travis Stevens? I remember when Travis Stevens was a junior at Northeast when I was a senior, and he earned the Mr. Football Award in the state of Tennessee. He was freaking awesome. And he went to UT, and then he got drafted in the NFL, right? Incredible. Travis could run that ball. And so I've got this history with the UT Vols where I can recount, right, their mighty deeds in the past. Right? But look back at the rest of verse 2. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Not today. Not the UT Vols today. There was nothing excellent. There was nothing great about that. Can I get an amen? Look, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not trying to beat up on you. I'm just trying to preach a sermon and it works, right? This works. But really, if you contemplate it, it's actually a powerful thought, isn't it? Because we love our Vols. We love our Titans, right? We love our kids' sports team. Man, we love it. It's like college football. It's on. But don't you dare let your team steal your praise of a holy God who is filled with excellent greatness. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I love cheering my team on. It's fun. It's great. But listen, some of you roll in here and you're bored before you get here. It's because you don't yet know God. You remember when they ran the football through the end zone, but you don't have an experience with God because you've not walked with him. But dear friends, he's inviting you into something powerful today, where not only you don't need the first song to praise him, you're praising him on Saturday night just thinking about meeting with him on Sunday morning. Can anybody, did anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like you can't even, it's like you get into Monday and you're thinking about Sunday because, man, something special happens when the people of God gather to worship the living God. So you've got to walk with him. You've got to know him. And when you have a history and a past with God where he shows up and does great things in your life, and when you get to know him, on the worst day, you can look at who he is and praise him simply for who he is. This is hope. Because some of you rolled in this morning and life like is not where you wanted it to be. And you've got your long list. I mean, you can make a list of 25 things are not where you anticipated they would be. It's not where you want them to be. It's not where you envisioned 10 years ago being. And life stinks for you right now. And you're like, how do I come to church when life stinks? You get to know God and you can praise him for who he is. Simply for who he is. He may not be doing a thing, but simply for who he is. I love the way volcanoes work. It's pretty cool. I'm going to throw an image up here just for a second. You've got the magma here, this molten lava in the bottom of the volcano. And I feel like the top of this volcano is praise. And that's what we're talking about, praising the Lord, right? This eruption of praise, right? We gather around, we play songs, and the people of God have an opportunity to erupt in praise. But what makes the praise go up is the thickness of the magma down at the bottom. Go ahead and scroll to that next slide so we can see it a little. So the little yellow pool down here at the bottom is magma. And when magma gets really thick and doesn't have air bubbles, that's when it begins to erupt. I just want you to internalize this and see this. Because some of you, like, praising God is hard for you. It's hard. So for some of you, you've got those silly reasons of, like, I'm not a good singer, you know. I don't like to sing, you know. That's not my thing. I like to serve God. I don't like to sing. But God commands us to sing. It's the pinnacle of worship. It's the overflow of his love. But here's where it's hard for you. Is you come in and you don't really yet know God intimately. And you don't have a past with him yet. And so it's like we're encouraging you to explode in praise, right? To erupt in praise, but there's no magma deep inside. There's nothing burning inside of you because you don't yet know him. And so this whole praising thing just feels like Christian karaoke. It just feels really weird to you. And it's like you're like thinking, man, I've got to muster something up when it's time to sing to God. No, you don't. You can just say to God, God, I don't yet know you. And I'm not motivated to praise you today. I don't know you and I don't have a past with you yet. I haven't been walking with you. I don't have that magma deep inside my soul yet that naturally explodes. Do you see that? Here's the good news. Today you can get to know God. You can begin to get to know God. By trusting in Jesus, you enter into a relationship with God where God begins to speak to you through his word. Did you hear Madison's testimony? When did her peace come? When she began to read God's word every day. Did you hear that? That's what she said earlier. I began to read God's word every day. I'll never forget getting a text from Madison saying, I just read through the book of Job, and it's the first time I've had peace in 4 months. It's powerful. So here's the beauty for you. God desires to transform your life from the inside out. God desires to make you one of those weird Christians that sing on their way to church, sing at church, and sing as you leave church. You can't help but to sing. You're texting the worship guy going, what songs are we singing this Sunday? Because I want to get ready. I want to get warmed up. Because there's something burning inside of you because you've experienced his love. There's something burning inside of you because you've experienced his grace. It's burning deep in your soul because you've gotten to know how awesome, how mighty, how powerful that God is. And it's just ready to explode. Do you see it? Listen, this can be true for every single one of you here today. This can be true for every one of you. To where we walk through those doors and we're going to say, nothing is going to stand in my way of praising my God. So I don't want you to feel like you've got to like force it. It's a natural eruption. When the magma is thick inside, it's a natural eruption. Just two more. We'll move through these quick. So how do we worship God? Look at verses 3 through 5. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. And some of you are going, hey, Pastor, the cymbals were loud, but I didn't hear a trumpet. I don't see a harp. No lute here this morning. I expect a harp next week. No, listen. The psalmist is not giving exacting instruments to be used. He's giving examples of instruments that could be used. Essentially, the psalmist is saying, God is worthy of every effort, every instrument you bring in, and every hour that you log in as the worship team to prepare to worship God, it's worth it. Bring in every instrument you want to bring in. It's worth it. Play them loud because he's worth it. He's worthy of it. Some of you are like, I don't like it loud. It's not for you. It's for him. And he wants it loud. You know what I'm saying? That's okay. And sometimes people will come up to me and say, man, I love the worship this morning. I don't care if you loved it. I only care if Jesus loved it. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we get so silly, caught up in our preferences. It's not about what we prefer. It's about the priority of God. Somebody say, yeah. Man, worship is like we've turned it into a consumeristic product. Get that stuff out of here. Worship is about the living God, not about scratching our itch. Come on, people. What this is called growing up in our faith, right? This is called growing up. Because the Apostle Paul, he wrote to one of the early churches in Corinth, and he said, you ought to be eating steak, but you're still drinking milk. So every Sunday, we just take a step of growth, right? Just take a step of growth, right? You know, like if the kid is still wearing the pull-up at age 10, like, you're not thrilled with that, are you? I don't know a parent that's thrilled with that. Why? Because you expect growth, right? You expect growth. And as the people of God mature, they come into worship, and it doesn't matter who's leading, it doesn't matter what song they're singing. The only thing that matters is who God is and what he's done. And because of that, he's worthy of my praise. You know what I'm saying? If you need a song that's in tune to worship God, you're an immature Christian. It's okay to be an immature Christian. You don't become a Christian and mature overnight. It takes time. It's a slow process. And you're welcome to be an immature Christian here. You're welcome to not yet be a Christian here. That's why we're doing this whole thing. So when you hear me say things, you got to understand there's people at a whole host of a wide variety of spiritual places. You got to understand, I'm speaking to a lot of different kinds of people here. And there's some people here that have been walking with Jesus for 15 years, and they need to hear me say, would you, the good thing is nobody complains about the music here. It's great. But I've served in plenty of churches where people complain about the music. And you've been walking with Jesus for 15 years, and you're complaining about the music. You need somebody to lovingly say to you, grow up. Worship's not about you. It's about the living God. Praise God. Praise him. For his excellent greatness and his mighty deeds, praise him and worship him. You ready for the last point? Who? Verse 6, look at it. Who? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You may be brand new to Christianity. You may have 100 unanswered questions, and that's really good stuff. Listen, but God desires your praise. He made you. He gives you breath in your lungs, and he paints the skies and the sunsets, and he says who? He says who? Everyone that has breath in their lungs should praise the Lord. This is not just for everybody that's having a good day. This is not just for everybody that now has a successful pregnancy. This is everybody that has breath in their lungs ought to praise their maker, to see who he is. I had a good friend this past week, and his heart was out of rhythm. And so he had known about this for some time, and he had to set up this appointment with the doctor where his heart was out of rhythm, and they had to try to shock it back into place. Maybe you've heard about this. It's somewhat routine, but you can imagine if it's your heart, you're going to be a little nervous about this whole deal, right? And so went over to the house and prayed with him and prayed with his family. And he went in and praise God, it took one shock and his heart got back into rhythm. Listen, dear friends, listen. You may be here this morning and it may be your spiritual heart that's out of rhythm. Because when we've been singing this morning, you've not been connected. You've not been motivated to sing. You've been more concerned about who's sitting next to you and are they singing and is anybody looking at me? Your heart's out of rhythm. Your spiritual heart's out of rhythm. And you need the Holy Spirit of God to shock you and your heart back into rhythm this morning. You need the Spirit of God to touch you and to shock you so that your heart beats in tune with the Holy Spirit, aligned with God's word and aligned with God's purposes. And if you'll just raise the hand of your heart and say, God, I need you to shock me back into spiritual reality. God, I need you to shock my heart back into rhythm with your heart. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll usher you into praise. If you just need to say to God, God, I've been giving my praise to all these things, all these other things, they've been stealing your praise. I need you to shock me this morning by your Spirit so that I can praise you again. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this simple commandment to praise you, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would shock our spiritual hearts back into rhythm with your heart. Lord, I pray it just takes one shock. I pray it, just like my friend, it just took one shot. I pray it takes one shock. But Lord, I just feel the urgency for my friends here today that you would awaken us to see your glory, that you would awaken us to be worshipers of you, that we would stop giving our praise to all these things and we would worship you. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.